Workflow Show, episode 3. What's going on with the Mac Pro?
Or as you put it earlier, what of the Mac Pro?
I actually like wither the Mac Pro.
But what of the Mac Pro is exactly what we're talking about today. I'm Merrill Davis and...
I'm Nick Gold.
That's right.
And we're Chesapeake Systems.
We are with Chesapeake Systems and... there's so much that has happened with the Mac Pro line, but not exactly what we expected.
There's so much of not much, I guess that, is a way of putting it.
There's a drama and a saga associated to this product line unlike any other.
It's like that movie Ishtar.
Is it?
I haven't actually seen Ishtar, but I understand it's really kind of long and dragging and trying to be kind of epic, but just failing.
I see.
So we're going to do the very abbreviated version of the last couple of years of the updates to the Mac Pro. Quick recap, okay? Last major update to the Mac Pro was summer of 2010. That was using Westmere class Xeon chips. We see an update just about a month ago on the Mac Pro, announced at the same time as the new Retina MacBook Pros. It wasn't even announced during the event, but there was a little new badge on the Mac Pro icon, which was since removed by Apple, because all they did was a very minor increase to the top clock speed of the two-year-old chips that Apple had been using all along. This was not the update people were waiting for.
This was like a half update.
Well, it wasn't even a half update. I think it was kind of almost a tease.
Yeah, I mean, they had to do something to the line, and I'm glad that they did, but you know, there
was
no addition
really nothing.
Of...
No new, no RAM differences, no real hard drive differences, no differences to the available graphics cards, and gosh, those things are starting to get long in the tooth. And again, the chips were really basically the same and weren't using the next generation chips that HP and some of the other workstation class, you know, computer vendors had started to implement a few months earlier in early 2012. So everyone is now wondering, gosh, it took you 2 years to update this thing, although a lot of that 2 years was obviously waiting on Intel to release suitable chips. But, well, then you aren't really even going to use the new chips when they come available. You're not going to use new graphics cards. What's going on? A lot of people are like, ah.
Yeah, I think they were upset because it seemed like Apple wasn't paying attention to this particular subset of users.
Well, and I think coupled with the changes that took place, you know, with Final Cut itself and now the Mac Pro getting, let's admit it, long in the tooth, people are like, oh, Apple doesn't care about the pros. Now, something interesting actually happened during that very minor update, and Tim Cook was actually asked, I think by a journalist directly, you know, to paraphrase, what's going on with the Mac Pro? And he actually commented, which was interesting, and he said, we have a more significant update coming for the pros in 2013. We care about the pro users. Hold tight. 2013 is your year, baby. He probably didn't use exactly
those
words.
He didn't say baby, but he did lick his lips and wink.
No, I don't know if he really did that.
No, so he did,
he implied.
He did respond. I believe it was in an email. Somebody sent him a note.
Yeah, So he implied that something's coming, but it's like 2013 for just an update to the Mac Pro? What's going on with that? Do you think they care about the pros, Merrill?
I do, but I think it's always been Apple's MO to not necessarily be forthright with their direction. I think that's part of the Apple mythos, if you
will. Yeah, they keep their cards close to their chest.
And they there's even a level of misdirection.
you know, they've done that, to be sure.
Yeah, you know, so... but I do feel like they would have to acknowledge how important the pro user base is and was to their entire longevity and livelihood, quite honestly. Even though they may not necessarily make up the largest swath of their end users now with the popularity of the iPad and the iPhone, there are still all the people out there that love Macs for the very, very good reason that they are a stable video platform.
Well, and, you know, you look at the rougher years that Apple had and, you know, we're going back 10 plus years now, 12 plus years, but, you know, really when we were stuck in OS 9 land and the early days of OS 10 or heck even OS 8, 6 and those things, it was really the pro users that were keeping Apple going, whether it was desktop publishing, audio, some very early on kind of video related stuff.
I got my first Mac because I wanted a copy of Digital Performer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was a lot of Apple's user base. And I think that pro community has always really obviously appreciated Apple and having this kind of drag on. But them saying there's something coming for the pros in 2013 is more clarity than I would reckon we probably would have gotten out of Jobs.
That's
I thought
true.
It was interesting that that's he spoke true. To it.
You know, but and that's it really sort of begs the question, so what do you do in the meantime? I mean, there's still quite a large requirement for many organizations that have teams and pools of editors to.
Let's talk about some ideas first that, you know, some ideas about maybe the direction they're going, and then let's talk about some other options
sure.
that people have that you know, we ourselves are representing as another path of possibility.
So let's step into the realm of hypotheticals.
And this is hypothetical. We're not rumor mongering. We have absolutely no inside information. Goodness knows we get told absolutely nothing
ahead
of time.
Mac rumors. They're really good for that.
I don't read that website.
Yeah. It's never right, except
well,
all the time.
Well, it's not like most of the time.
But there's definitely a couple of ways the Mac Pro could go.
Well, and here's the thing, right? 2013, everyone else released updates to their workstations pretty much almost as soon, like maybe within a month of Intel actually having the chips available that were kind of a suitable follow-up to the Westmeres. And the new chips are called the Sandy Bridge E Xeons. These are actually based on last year's Sandy Bridge. They're not the newer Ivy Bridge, but it's the Sandy Bridge E workstation class, server class chips that most of these folks use for these creative production workstations. And if the other guys who are not like the largest computer company on the planet, like Apple now is, could release an update so quickly, Why would it take Apple until 2013 to just do an update?
You know, and I think you're right. That's very astute. They must be planning something that's very specific.
So here's what I'm thinking. And I've talked with a lot of folks who I think, you know, again, imagine that maybe Apple is going to do something differently than just a simple update to the Mac Pro line. We know that Apple is a company that's willing to kind of
refactor, I think
yeah,
would be the,
yeah,
the best
like,
word.
Yeah, like just drag us out of a territory that we didn't realize we needed to be dragged out of and pull us into a whole new reality, a new way of doing things.
I mean, think about all the other Apple lines. We got a MacBook Pro that has gone through several significant redesigns.
No optical drive, dramatic improvement in the display technology with the Retina display.
Unibody.
All solid yeah. state, you know, instead of hard drives, it's like no more hard drives on our laptops. You should be using solid state. They've been pushing the boundaries dramatically.
But if you sort of stood in a room and you saw a Power Mac G5 and the most recent Mac Pro.
The only difference on the front of the unit is that the Mac Pros, the ones that have used Intel chips for years and years now, have two CD drawers on the front instead of one. They
awesome.
Look identical.
Two instead of one.
Which no one even really uses.
But, you know, if you're that one poor guy that still has a G5, you can pretend like you have a Mac Pro. That's the one benefit.
You could draw a second CD drawer
that's
on the
right.
front with
or
a Sharpie.
Drill it. Yeah. We don't condone that.
So what could they be doing? Here's my thought, Merrill. It's just a vision I have, right?
Okay.
So Apple works.
Is it post-apocalyptic?
Well, those are some of my visions, but we're not going into that territory
yet. I see.
This is more like a year out.
The end of days Mac Pro?
Not 3 years out.
Sure.
So Apple, we know, has this new type of connector technology that they've implemented. It was based on Intel's Lightpeak technology that's now called Thunderbolt.
Which I think they just like got out of the thesaurus and they're like, well, we want it to be like Lightpeak.
Well,
but
you want to know the funny thing, right? Like, what the heck is a Thunderbolt? Isn't it a lightning bolt? But if you actually look it up, a Thunderbolt is a real word and is apparently the same thing as a lightning bolt, even though thunder is auditory and lightning is light and the bolt is the light. So why would it be a Thunderbolt?
You know, they missed a really good licensing opportunity with Usain Bolt, the Jamaican runner.
Yeah, he's fast.
He is.
So, but that's the thing about Thunderbolt, right? It's wicked fast, as we would say back in my home state of Massachusetts. Wicked, wicked fast. Like 10 gigabits per channel per direction. So it's like on a typical Thunderbolt connector, you got a 20 gig connection into the machine, 20 gig connection out. You can daisy chain things much more reliably than some other connection technologies. It's a bit more like SCSI.
It's faster than USB 3 too, right?
Oh, like also. Twice as fast. But here's the interesting thing about Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt really is basically PCI Express plus DisplayPort for audio and video. So it's got tons of bandwidth, and Intel very much has plans to scale the speed and performance of Thunderbolt over the next few years. They've talked about it going from 10 gigs per channel in one direction up to like 100 gigs per channel
just
in one
imagine
direction.
What you could do with that.
And it's a lot different than USB 2 because Thunderbolt is more, it's
USB
a, it's
also.
Like PCI 2 also, whatever.
3, whatever.
It's like a PCI slot in your computer that got shrunk down to this teeny little connector that also happens to carry audio and video, so you can plug it into a display.
Honey,
you
know, I shrunk the PCI.
Speakers. Yeah.
Yeah. Like and I believe, yes, it's like Rick Moranis is inside of a cable. It's really what it is. But also there's
That sounds highly annoying.
Well, you know, he doesn't act anymore.
Thank God.
He got out of it.
I think the only role I really enjoyed him in...
Little Shop of Horrors?
Oh, no. Okay, so there's a few. There's Little Shop of Horrors. There's Parenthood, which he's pretty funny in. Parenthood's good. And then, of course, Dark Helmet.
Oh, really? You're not even going to say anything about Ghostbusters?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, like, there's
Rick
lots
Moranis
of...
Rick was in a lot
there's
of really
lots
good
of
movies.
Good movies.
But we got
Rick
tired
Moranis.
Of him, and then he went away, is what happened. But
it's
anyway,
like he got shrunk to the point of disappearing.
That's correct.
Inside of our Thunderbolt cables.
Well, the thing about the Thunderbolt cables is there's also intelligence on it. There's, you know, there's a microchip on the Thunderbolt cable.
Yeah, they're active cables, which is why they're quite a bit more expensive than your typical just copper USB cable. And they're coming out with optical versions that don't require a separate type of Thunderbolt port. They will actually have the little optical transceiver modules built into the cables. They won't carry power probably like a copper Thunderbolt cable currently does, but you'll be able to run Thunderbolt peripherals probably for many, many meters, and that's something new. And here's the thing, right? None of this, the performance, the active cables, you know, all of this stuff, the coming, you know, out with optical versions of it, none of this stuff sounds like it's for consumers. Thunderbolt itself really
it sounds like an enterprise level
it's a pro
interface
thing.
You know,
it does. And it's totally like audio video professional oriented. You've got very nice now Thunderbolt, you know, audio video interfaces from folks like AJA and Blackmagic, and I think probably some other folks are coming out with those. You've got very high performance Thunderbolt storage devices that are
so what's that,
you know,
mean
coming out?
What's that mean for the Mac Pro though? So
well,
you
so here's
this...
the thing, right? Thunderbolt has been trapped on all of these laptops and the iMacs. And there's no new Mac Pro, no new Mac Pro with Thunderbolt connectors, no new Mac Pro with high-performance processor. Here's my guess, Merrill, and it is a guess, but if you
tell
read
us.
The tea leaves, I don't know. I think it's at least plausible. What if...
What?
What if Apple came out with this little silver box? Right?
Okay, I'm with you.
Maybe they call it, like, the Thunderbox.
That sounds slightly dirty, but I'm with you. Okay, so the Thunderbox comes
Thunderbox.
Out. And what exactly is the Thunderbox?
It's this little box. Little. It's not as big as a Mac Pro, that's for sure. It's a little box you plug in to your laptop or to your iMac, heck, or even your Mac Mini.
Via
with a
what?
Thunderbolt cable.
No.
And in this, like, nice, sealed, just pristine looking silver box, maybe it has like one glowing light on the front, it's just jam packed with processing power, maybe a bunch of CPUs, a bunch of GPUs. Here's a neat thing, neat fact for you. Intel is actually coming close to releasing versions of their chips that literally have dozens of processor cores on a single chip.
So you're saying this is a piece of hardware that is a dummy without interfacing with something else? It doesn't have a screen. It's not a computer. What is it?
It's a hyper mega accelerator that turns your Mac laptop.
A hyper mega accelerator.
That's patented, that
I
term.
I see. That's trademark. The Japanese Apple Labs named that
it's
one.
It's registered.
Super Happy Fun Time Hyper Mega Accelerator Apple Box.
That's what it is. It's got a nice little Apple logo and a glowing, beckoning LED. And you plug it into your iMac or your laptop with a Thunderbolt cable, and suddenly it transforms. It transforms your computer into something way more powerful
than the Mac Pro ever was. Angle. So this, and you would have, what, tiers of this little Thunderbox?
Maybe you can daisy chain them.
Oh, that's interesting.
The more power you want, the more super mega hyper accelerator Thunderboxes you buy, and you just daisy chain them with Thunderbolt cables.
That would literally do away with the traditional sense of a desktop.
Well,
machine.
Here's what's cool, right? I come in to work. I'm going into my edit suite. I'm carrying my nice new slick MacBook Pro with Retina display. I plop it down in the edit suite. I plug in one cable. And now I have all this other stuff that's maybe on the desk or maybe in an equipment room, you know, connected with this Thunderbolt cable. And now I've connected to my monitors, my audio video interfaces, and one or more of these accelerator boxes that's suddenly giving me way more processing power. Maybe it's a bunch of typical desktop Sandy Bridge E-chips. Maybe it's GPU. Maybe it's these newer Intel chips with dozens of cores. And now my consumer or prosumer machine has turned into a super full-fledged professional workstation. It's exciting,
super.
Right?
That is a, you know,
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Progressive view of this. You know, the only people I would think wouldn't like something like that are large organizations that don't want their half of their edit station to walk.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, no one's saying you have to be able to walk around with your machine. Maybe you're plugging in an iMac. Here's the thing, right? Apple really likes making products that appeal to a huge number of people. And if they were to do something like this, right, they could sell these accelerator boxes just to the pros, but be selling the pros pretty much the same line of computers that they're selling to consumers, so they, again, don't have to have so many different products that
they're
making.
It's like getting a Game Genie for your Super Nintendo.
Yeah, kind of.
But so I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second, because I kind of wish that's the way it was going, but something tells me that we're two clicks away from that.
Here's the clue, right? Why would it take Apple until 2013 to release just another little update to the Mac Pro? That timing indicates to me that there may be there's a more significant engineering thing going on right now at Apple that's making it take this long to do whatever they plan for these pros that Tim Cook was alluding to in 2013, and maybe it's the Thunderbox.
Yes.
I don't know. It's probably not going to happen, but I have dreams about that kind of stuff.
Like,
Wake up with a smile.
More likely, well, this is what I think. This is sort of more conservative and judicious sort of approach to what probably will happen. I'm thinking maybe we'll see a redesign, an outside redesign, a consolidated redesign of the desktop platform.
Like making it tinier?
Yeah, I think it's about time that the Mac Pro chassis was a little bit smaller. And I know
is it going to have PCI slots if Thunderbolt is now available?
Well, that's the thing. If they make a Thunderbolt enabled machine, then the thing that's modular can be those, you know, if you've got to break it out and do PCI slots. I mean, color artists and video editors do that now. They have only X amount of PCIe slots anyway, right? So probably the more reliable approach would be to shrink it down. I mean, like, I'll give you an example. Look at, like, a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox, right?
Yeah.
They come out with the first iteration. They get better processors. They develop better fans. They develop a firmware that you know, changes over time. And then they re-release the next thinner, slimmer, you know, the PS3 Slim or the Xbox 360 Tiny or whatever they call it. So I feel like that is a proven method that Apple may take, which is to consolidate and then modularly sell out the other essential components that would be perfect for the pro video editor market, but not necessarily something that needed to be
bundled in the actual piece. What we're saying is we're expecting something fairly significant to happen, and it's probably not just the same looking box that we've had for like a decade now.
And suffice it to say, it's going to have Thunderbolt, whatever it is, in whatever
flavor. Like it. I mean, again, it's made for pros. Why wouldn't the pro system that Apple has have it? I guess it's just an issue of how extreme are they going to push us into this new way of doing things? Is it just a slimmed down desktop system? You know, there were some talk a while ago that the new Mac Pro was going to come out and you'd actually be able to fairly easily turn it on its side and mount it in an equipment rack. So if you're using these as servers or in an audio or video workstation, I don't think so. I don't think Apple really wants to be in the rack. They don't sell RAIDs anymore. They don't sell actual rack mountable servers anymore. I don't see them going back into that space.
You know, I'm gonna add a third point of view here, which is that Apple typically, in the way they design things, it's usually, it's very sleek, it's very clean, and it's usually one component. So the idea that something is modular, it seems to go against historically what Apple has done. You know, just to play devil's advocate here, I think it's got to be absolutely mind-blowing. And your idea, Super Happy Fun Time Mega Super Thunderbox Raid?
No, don't forget the word accelerator.
Accelerator. I don't know why I said raid. But that is potentially totally like life-changing. Nick's yelling at me. He's like, turn off your phones, unplug everything. His other laptop's rebooting.
I'm reinstalling OS X onto a machine that I'm trying to get rid of. Man.
Just here. But yeah, so I think in typical Apple fashion, we're probably going to see something that is in betwixt my idea and Nick's idea.
You were making fun of me for saying wither, and you're going to bust out in betwixt?
Don't bust my chops whilst I do a record. yeah, well, I'm feeling British because of the Olympics.
Ugh, NBC, man.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
Do we do business with NBC?
Not yet, if we continue this. Well, you know, I think we've, the folks over at NBC Universal, we've worked with them.
Maybe. I mean, I just, the whole delay thing is like, because you can't escape.
I've had it ruined. Nick's
can't escape. I've been messing with you about ruining it. I've been like, Meryl, like you know who won the gold medal today?
Snape killed Dumbledore.
So, don't say that stuff, man. Someone didn't know that.
Rosebud is a sled.
Oh, dude, now you're just getting low.
Soylent Green is people.
Yeah, well, I think we all know that.
Oh, yeah? Kevin Spacey's Kaiser Soze.
Okay, that's just wrong.
Luke, he is your father.
Yeah, if you didn't know that one, you're like, really? You know, I know people like in their like mid-20s who haven't seen Star Wars at all.
That's...
I just want to hit them.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
to reel it back in.
Yeah. No, can't we spoil a couple more movies? Bruce Willis is dead.
Oh, you're talking about the one good movie
from Shyamalan
M. Night Shyamalan ever made?
Yeah. Yeah.
God, what a just disastrous career plummet.
Really? When you didn't see Avatar The Last Airbender? I mean,
I would cry.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the cartoon show. Not that I watch cartoons regularly, but I've heard from people
that the cartoon is a well-executed children's show that has a very significant story arc that's much in line with like Japanese animation. But for this thing, I mean, it was just terrible, and it also came up against the release of another Avatar movie, funny enough.
Well, but that did a little about bit better. Big, tall blue people that
yes. Smurfs 3D.
Tall Smurfs. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we've gone enough on that topic.
That's the possible future of the Mac.
Some random ideas about what Apple might be up to, and a lot of random talk about movie spoilers.
Sure.
Okay, what's a pro to do? What's a pro to do, Meryl?
Well, I know what I would do personally.
What's that?
Well, I kind of like the idea of a desktop platform and an edit station. So
you mean like a more traditional box?
Sure. And because
you want a machine to open up, make you feel like a real geek.
Well, I want a workstation. I want an edit suite. I want something that is always a part of the installation, and I go there to use this machine to do my work.
It projects raw, sheer professionalism.
Yeah, you know, like, there's a time when I had an edit machine and a work machine, and my edit machine always was not, it wasn't connected to the internet except for driver updates, because, you know, I want to be hyper-focused, and I think intellectually doing that setup allows me to think and go, okay, well, I'm disconnected now, it's time to do work.
Well, that's why it's called a workstation, sure. Right? Yeah. Is plugging your laptop into a little box that makes it way faster, the same
thing. Yeah, but you
thing.
Got your email, Twitter, Facebook, all yeah. that stuff on. So,
although a lot of our editors these days, that's just kind of what they do.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's fine.
They're Facebooking, not editing.
Okay. Well, we sound like my grandmother. They're Facebooking. They've been doing their Facebooks. Facebook. No, but...
you know, yeah. When I went to school, a Facebook actually was something that was printed.
You're giving away your age.
I'm a lot older than I look, people. I'm actually in my 50s.
Yep.
You know, we looked up Uma Thurman because I went to a school that she went to.
We? I didn't do
me
that.
Me and my friends.
Oh, I was you just said we. I'm like, I don't remember that doing that. Did you drug me?
We looked in the old Facebooks, and we found Uma when she was in high school, and she was funny.
I see that.
I would have desks that had like Uma like scratched in it, and I was like, "Man, I'm sharing a desk with Uma."
That's you cool. Went to Uma Thurman's high school?
I actually went to both of her high schools.
So,
I'm not stalking the ghost of Uma Thurman.
The ghost of she's alive. She's not dead. You
I
can't
mean
stalk
more
her ghost.
Like the metaphysical shadow.
Are
presence.
You astral projecting to Uma Thurman? Like
back
she's
in
sitting
time.
In her kitchen and like she just gets a chill in the back of her neck because she feels like Nick Gold is watching her.
No aspect of that didn't sound creepy. Alrighty.
Anyway,
so that's
my perspective. That's my perspective.
Okay.
I think that, you know, it allows me to do some separation of work, and I like the idea of something that's big to put it in there. And I know a lot of traditional broadcast guys and editors in the broadcast space share that point of view, which
I'm
is
I'm not
you know,
going to disagree with you. I'm not going to say that there ain't something good about kind of sticking to a model that's worked well. However, my perspective, my grandma always told me,
get off Facebook.
No, patience is a virtue. Patience is a virtue.
It is.
She said that so many times, and I'm not really a very patient person. However, I will say this. With Tim Cook beckoning that something is coming for pros, and a lot of our users who have been very comfortable Mac users for many years, just not sure, should I get this minorly updated Mac Pro? Should I switch platforms?
It's really the first time of indecisiveness as a Mac purchaser. Like, I've never seen that level of indecisiveness with a product line.
Oh, and I've got some of our clients telling me, you can't pry Mac from me, from my cold, dead hands. But here's what I say. He said something is coming. 2013 is, you know, not that far off. We've waited this long already. My personal inclination would be, if you need another machine now and you don't want to switch platforms completely, get another Mac Pro that's available today.
Get a 306.
Or whatever.
12-core.
That might be overkill. I don't know. Get the machine that's available today that'll probably do what you want it to do. If you need extra processing power, throw in an NVIDIA Quadro 4000 card. They're pretty cheap. Throw in a bunch of RAM. And if you really want more processing power, go back to last week's episode where we talk about how you can actually switch your software to something like Premiere Pro or Adobe Media Composer. And
you
have
a 64-bit application.
Yeah, have
a
64-bit app that uses a GPU, that's multi-core aware, all of these good things. You know, I would be patient. My inclination is to be patient, to see what's coming. But if I need a machine now and I want to kind of stick with a similar platform and I don't want to go Windows or I don't want to do something like that, get a Mac Pro that's available today. But I don't know. I'm not a terribly patient person, but I'm a really curious person. And, you know, with some of these clues and some of what Apple maybe could do that to me would be really cool, I'd love it if I could plug my laptop into a slick little silver box and suddenly it's like way more powerful than the Mac Pro ever was with one little cable being plugged in.
And you know what? They do have a little, you know, now that I think about it, with AirPlay and with the integration with Apple TV and all the laptop lines, you know, that's not entirely far off when you think about their that style of integration.
Little boxes that have specialized purposes that either wirelessly or with connections, you know, plug into one another.
Yeah.
And make you able to do cool stuff. So I would wait if I didn't really need a new machine now.
Or,
I would,
you know,
not give in to the fear.
Well, and also not to go along
don't
with
ever
what you're
give
saying,
in to fear.
Don't give in to fear. If you give in to fear, the terrorists win.
Something like that.
Yeah. But here's the other thing. The truth be told, I mean, like, depending on the level of work you're doing, and whether it's if you're doing like an ENG style reality docu kind of thing, and you got three layers of video at most. I mean, I've edited the last three style projects like that on a Mac Pro laptop. There is increasingly a lot of flexibility on the laptop, so it might even be like I've got a 2011 MacBook Pro, and it is
I've got an early 2012 MacBook Pro with Retina display.
He's got a Retina display, and he's special. But actually, it is awesome, and I want one. I want one now.
It's so beautiful.
But the cool thing about
it's fast
doing that work. I think I edited three different projects in a total of six different locations. I was traveling with FireWire drives, and I had to get it done in a manner that. That didn't allow me to sit down at a workstation.
And laptops, lots of our clients have been doing that.
Yeah, you know, especially...
They work.
Especially if you're in the sort of documentary television, run-and-gun, ENG-style stuff, because you're ingesting...
It's not a crazy idea to make a higher-end laptop your primary system these days for some folks.
I mean, there are people who are strictly field editors, and their entire profession relies on having a robust laptop to do
so, that. So what we're saying is either get the system that's out today that meets your needs, whether it's a Mac Pro, whether it's a laptop, or be patient if there's nothing really pressing you. But what about the other options? Because we don't want to necessarily dissuade people at all from looking at other avenues completely.
Well, certainly both Premiere Pro 6 and Avid Media Composer 6 are NLEs that allow you to operate largely within the confines of the program itself. So not like with FCP 7 and before, where you really had to, as Nick mentioned in last week's podcast, you really got to navigate the operating system as well, and that's not necessarily the case for Avid or Premiere.
No, you can live inside the apps for the most part. The reality is the operating system that you're running is not super relevant if this is indeed your workstation and you're living inside of your NLE or you're living inside of your graphics or compositing program. You don't really need to give that much of a concern to the fact that you're running Windows. I mean, yeah, it is different, and some folks just aren't going to want to do it, but...
And there are some benefits for sort of additional programs that may be only for Mac or may only be for
PC. Sure, there's always some of that, but a lot of it is multi-platform these days, and certainly there's things that only live on PC.
And you know, truth be told, you get an Adobe licensed download. You have an install for both your Mac and your PC.
Yeah, that's if you do the Adobe licensing, which we highly encourage. This is when you get like a certificate from us.
And then you download direct
from
there.
You download it. You can buy a media installer kit if you still want to use those shiny silver discs. What are those called?
But there's
again?
CDs? DVD? I
thought they were called laser discs.
Yes. It's a silver record.
Yes, it is. Not as good as a gold record.
No. Nothing's as good as a gold record.
Oh, except the platinum, which is better.
Yeah, that is true. That's absolutely true. But yeah, so I guess the point that Nick and I are getting here is there are robust PC options. We prefer one of our partners, a company by the name of Rain Computers.
That's rain like the water that falls out of the sky, not like rain like my evil rain over this measly planet.
Yes. That.
So anyway... Rain, R-A-I-N, computers, raincomputers.com is our kind of go-to PC workstation partner. We've been very impressed with them, and they are 100% devoted as a company to creating workstation-class Windows PCs for creative professionals, whether they're video, audio, graphics, 3D. It is totally what their company is oriented around.
They kind of remind me of a young Apple.
actually. Well, and it's no secret that I think they've deliberately tried to model some of Apple's successes over the years in this space. So, like, if you configure a workstation from another manufacturer that we are also aligned with, who's got two initials as their name, and it rhymes with Schmeich Plea, yes. And you know, they give you like a million options, and it can be really confusing to figure out what build-to-order configurations
you want. It's intimidating. Forget confusing.
They make you choose which heat sink you want to pair with the CPU, and it's like most of our clients do not want to think about that stuff.
Yeah,
we can do it on your behalf, but frankly, I don't want to think about that stuff.
A day in heatsink hell is not a place where I want to be.
Especially do you want a water-cooled thing? Do you want just a big chunky heatsink? You know, gosh, just let someone else make those decisions.
If only a PC manufacturer would design a configuration on their website,
and all you had to choose was like the speed of your processor, the hard drives,
like a radio button, and
kind of like how Apple used to do it.
Yeah.
Or does do it.
Yeah, that's true. So
that's what Rain is doing, and it's great. It's great, because you know that they've thought about all this stuff. They've got a great case. They have the right heat sink for the CPUs you're choosing. And, you know, we're relatively new working with them, but we've been very impressed with just the focus that they apply. And here's the other thing, right? A lot of people have these associations with Windows as being unstable, and which drivers do I want? And am I choosing the correct combination of motherboard and CPU that is going to work well with this version of Windows so my pro audio or video software doesn't drop frames or give me weird, you know, jitter artifacts when recording? They've done all that thinking for us and for the end users, and we can rely on their stuff being properly engineered as an end-to-end system. And so if you're looking at maybe making the hop to Premiere Pro or Media Composer from Final Cut, or you've been using those all along, or you're just an After Effects person and you're okay with it being on a PC, we would definitely talk to you about Rain and whether that might be a viable option that's just kind of adhering to the more traditional desktop workstation system model, but in a way that is going to be reliable despite the fact that it's running Windows, which, let's be honest, folks, Windows has evolved quite a lot since, like, Windows 95. It's a lot better than that.
Remember Windows ME?
I was just about to ask you that. That's so funny, because it's like no one does.
Windows ME, the 2000, the year 2000
the Millennium
tragedy.
Edition. They were just trying to ride the Y2K
thing. Oh, my
thing.
Goodness. What a disaster. But, you know, the thing about Rain Computers, I want to just say a couple of things I like about them. Number one, they're based in New Jersey. That's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think I've ever said that about any company ever being based in New Jersey, but I think it's cool. These guys, you know, they're mid-Atlantic based. The other thing is they are solely targeted, as Nick alluded to earlier, to the audio and video markets. They, in fact, have the product lines broken down in such a manner that you can look at the audio machines and then the video machines. They have, on the video side, what I would call the Mac Pro equivalent, the Element V2, is a very robust tower that
you can get now with the brand new Intel chips, the Sandy Bridge E's that we were talking about
earlier.
That's
right. So if you want...
They come with free Ginsu knives.
Do they? They cut the can right in midair.
I just felt like we were starting to get kind of salesy for a moment.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. The Element V2...
We are sales guys, by the way.
That's true. But...
You know, creative.
I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that if you know that you want Mac Pro quality, but you don't necessarily want to invest in a Mac Pro at this time, this is the most reasonable alternative that I can conjure.
Yeah, and I should say, too, and I think we said, you know, we also can sell HP systems. A lot of people just really like HP.
And Schmeich Plea. Schmeich Pleas are good ones, too. Yeah.
Some people just are very oriented around the Z800 series. I think they're called the Z820s now. Again, we can outfit those with current best-of-class graphics cards, CPUs, the Sandy Bridge E's, gobs and gobs of RAM. And that, too, is an option, although, again, we typically would lead with Rain just because we love their overall build quality and the simplicity of dealing with them, plus the support they put behind their products that is so aimed at the pro user. But
those
are
options.
Those are options.
It is. And, you know, I think...
Good options.
I think this
Not
is the
options.
Most, like, flavorful set of options that we've had in quite some time, though. There used to be, you know...
Well, it wasn't even... granted, there were always creative professionals who stayed on Windows and PC, but...
You'd have to get, like, an Alienware. You'd have to get, like, a gaming rig and then build it out.
You know, the HP Z800s
back
or whatever.
Before Alienware was purchased by Dell, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, there were ways of pulling it off, but that's kind of what it was like, right? Like, you were kind of pulling it off by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that have edited on the Windows platform that have their own anecdotal stories as to how it worked for them, and we don't doubt that. I think it ultimately comes down to a preference because the technology is available everywhere. It's just a matter of what your preference is, what your comfort level is, and, you know, whether or not you're a Mac or PC guy, really. At the end of the day, because... You know, the capabilities, they're using the same processors. They're using mostly the same, you know, programs. So there's not a whole lot difference here other than preference and then maybe a couple of just hardware differences, you know?
Yeah, but the software, man, pretty different, especially with the Windows 8 that's coming out soon and this whole new... formerly known as Metro user interface.
You know, I have to say...
They just changed it. It's no longer called Metro, folks. They got some legal threat from a German company.
German Metro.
It's now the Windows 8 styled UI, which I read on Daring Fireball today. That's a great website, by the way, and Associated Audio Podcast.
I see.
It may meander more than we do.
Is that a good thing?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's true. I think the only X factor really is the stability of Windows. I think Windows 7 is a stable platform to do a certain level of editing and post-production work.
Yeah.
There's no question about
especially
that.
Especially if you tune it right, like a company like Rain does before they ship out your machine.
That's true. So, you know, that's an interesting landscape. We have basically laptops that can double as desktops, which is a long time coming and really has really come into its own, I'd say, the last 6 to 7 years,
mm-hmm.
really legitimately.
And with the brand new updates that Apple just released that are very powerful machines, which, again, the Retina MacBook Pro with between its screen resolution, the SSD drive, the high-end processors, it's fast as sin.
We know color correctors who are using the MacBook Pro with Retina display as their primary in-field color correction because it has a resolution that is high enough for them
color,
to do.
And the color gamut is great on the screen. It's a nice screen.
You know, it may not be as accurate as going and setting up in a studio, but it's certainly more flexible than anything anyone has had in the field before.
Yeah.
So
that it's an option.
Yeah.
PC
yeah.
is an option. An it iMac is actually a viable option. They're pretty powerful. They're using Ivy Bridge chips now. Or are they? No, I think they're maybe still Sandy Bridge.
But, there's a level of, depending on the level of work that you're doing and how much processing power is required, that might also dictate. I mean, like, you could get an iMac if you're doing, you know, local basketball tournaments. But if you're dealing heavy in After Effects, you probably want a 12-core Mac Pro.
The fact that Sonnet is now shipping the Thunderbolt enclosures for PCI cards, so you can take a PCI card Kona or Blackmagic, slap it in this box, plug it into a Thunderbolt port, and use it as like an external device with an iMac or a laptop, that certainly opens up options that were never on the table before. We haven't field tested all of these setups yet, but it's certainly coming into being a viable option. So you don't even have to sacrifice all of your legacy cards if, you know, you still want to use them on a mobile setup or using an iMac. So that's all good. I mean, again, the RAIN computers or Windows-based PC option for a more traditional workstation approach, if you're, you know, able to make that OS switch, certainly a viable option. And again, patience is a virtue.
It is.
Patience is a virtue.
Yep.
Patience is a virtue.
It's a virtue. It's Ooh, a virtue.
Grace.
Well, that's all I have as far as
I think we've lined out the options. There's a lot of them. It's actually a good time. You don't have to be worried. I think something good is coming, but there's plenty of good stuff out there now.
It's the calm before the storm, and there's plenty of options.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So next time, what's next time? Archive?
I guess we could talk about archive. There's plenty. You know, are we going to do archive and backup, or are we going to do archive then backup?
You know
or?
What? Maybe we should do an episode next week that is archive and backup, so we can differentiate.
That's
those
important.
Things.
Do you know the difference between archive and backup?
Do you use those terms interchangeably?
You shouldn't, and we'll tell you why.
Definitely shouldn't. Definitely bad. An archive, such a pressing need right now.
Indeed, it is.
So, we'll talk to you next time. I've been Nick Gold for Chesapeake Systems. Remember, you can email us, workflowshow@chesa.com. www.chesa.com is obviously our website, and you can go to the Pro Video section or one of the other sections to learn more about us.
And I've been Merrill Davis, at least for the day, and you should definitely check out our first two episodes if you haven't had a chance. Because we're going to be doing this quite often.
These will be syndicated through iTunes, so you'll be able to use that nice new skeuomorphically designed podcasting app that they released for the iPhone. Do you know what skeuomorphic means?
I believe it changes the skews.
No, the user interface.
Oh, you mean the view?
The user interface is designed to look like something old school. Like it actually looks like a reel-to-reel tape deck.
Oh, I see.
Like how iCal or the new calendar app kind of look like a desk calendar, even though they're a piece of software. So why the heck?
So are they
going to
release
a
calculator app that looks like an abacus?
Oh my God, that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
iAbacus.
Yeah.
Okay, enough of all that. We'll talk to you next week, guys.
All right. See you guys later. Bye.